Hello and welcome to the Buyer Insights Podcast, a show about how and why people buy. I'm your host, Liston Witherell, CEO of GoodFunnel, a digital marketing agency. You can check us out on the web at www.goodfunnel.co. Today, I'm very excited to have Dr. David Darmanin with us. He is the CEO of Hotjar.com, a very, very useful conversion rate optimization and analytics tool to really learn all you will ever need to know about your customers and website visitors. David is a talented designer. He has a background in conversion rate optimization, and he's applied all of that to his latest business venture, which is Hotjar.com, which is a fantastic tool that we happen to use here at GoodFunnel. So we're really excited. And without further ado, here's David. How are you today, David?
I'm very good, thanks. And thanks for having me on this interview.
Absolutely. I'm really, really excited to have you here because you make a product that we use on a regular basis called Hotjar at hotjar.com. And I'm just really excited to hear your insights, both as a conversion optimization consultant, someone who actually went out there, practiced this, but also someone now on the other side building tools to answer the needs of people who are constantly in the business of understanding how and why people make buying decisions. So I'm really excited to have you here. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and kind of what led you to create Hotjar in the first place?
Yeah, that's a great question. I can do a long answer or a short one.
No, whatever you prefer.
No, it was a joke. As in, it was a bit long build up, right? It's funny how when you get it right and you finally manage to solve for a problem that many other people have, like in hindsight, kind of it looks simple, but when you really think about it, it's like a buildup of multiple things. It's like a journey that finally gets you to kind of the point where everything comes together. So that's how it was for me. It was a situation where very early in my career, I was studying law at university, which is something I didn't enjoy that much. So I quickly jumped into, it was the time when the web was exploding. Everyone was building sites and trying to build a .com or something. So that was the point in time where I kind of started to experiment with building sites and visuals. I fell in love with design and UX. But I was really frustrated there was no way to kind of measure what I was doing. And then fast forward through my career of consulting some of the biggest businesses in the world, working in-house with software companies, I was still struggling to find a great tool to measure, like if what I was building was good or not. And the tools that were available on the market, they were very expensive, very enterprise focused, and they were just not simple and intuitive. So it just felt like everything I had learned had led me up to this moment to kind of use my knowledge to solve for that problem. And that's where the idea of Hotjar came around. So I reached out to the best people I had worked with. So the best UX designer, the best business-minded person, the best developer, the best front-end engineer. And together, we sat down and we said, how do we solve this problem? And how do we create a tool that anyone from a student all the way to an analyst in a Fortune 500 can pretty much instantly understand what their biggest problems are on the site and then measure against that? That's the kind of the story in a nutshell.
So for those who aren't familiar, can you take a second to just describe what Hotjar is and what it does?
Sure. Hotjar is a tool which pretty much combines, let's say, analytical type tools. So think of tools that kind of show you where people are clicking, where they're dropping off on your site, and then connects that part, so the analytical piece, which is what people are doing, to what they're thinking and how they feel about the site, which is what we call feedback. So the ability to ask questions within the page or do a survey or recruit them to do a lengthier interview kind of. So that's why we call Hotjar the combination of analytics and feedback. So the best example is if you have, for example, an e-commerce site, you can quickly see on a given product page, like a heat map of where people are clicking. You can also replay how they're moving around. But at the same time, you can ask a question like, if you decided not to buy this today, like, what was it that stopped you? Or how can we improve this page? What information is missing? And we call this moment of bringing all this together kind of this big picture aha moment. So it's the ability to see all these pieces together and say, ah, that's what's missing. That's why they're asking for this information, or this is missing, this is confusing, and that's why they're behaving in this way. And we found that that is the most visual, actionable way to find like your biggest opportunity for growth.
So one thing that stood out to me that you said here on this call, but I've also read on some of your blog posts, is that one of the goals of Hotjar is to democratize UX improvement and collecting feedback and using all of these really complicated analytics tools, or at least complex, not necessarily complicated. And then on this, during this interview earlier, you mentioned that you wanted someone from a student all the way to a seasoned professional to really get value out of Hotjar. Why did you take this approach to democratize the product and really start with that as your mission?
That's a good question. I think we're entering a phase, like if we think what's the next era, right? We've been through the salesman era, we've been through the TV ads, the kind of the brand spokesman. And it feels like we're entering this phase, which I like to mention this when I talk at events around the world. I like to say we're entering what's called the connected user era. It's a time where we no longer can afford to assume that with some ads or with some social marketing, we can push a product or a service down someone's throat or just assume it's just going to happen, right? So there's competitors are just showing up everywhere. A lot of business now comes from word of mouth and referrals. Like you cannot survive in this future landscape if you do not have a really good idea of what your users and what your customers are thinking. So I think that is kind of one of the critical reasons why we think as we enter into this phase, like things are changing so much that everyone kind of needs to reevaluate and reprioritize what data and what they should be looking at, right? So I think it's going to be a new way of doing things. It's being reactive and being able to quickly discover what the opportunities or improvements are and acting on that. So that's the main reason. So it's connected to this new era we're entering. But equally, another thing is happening, which is more and more tools, I believe, are becoming simpler. We are kind of the generation, or maybe the kind of the end of that generation of Facebook, right? Of Instagram, of YouTube. It's a phenomena that's happening, which is enterprise B2B is becoming much more B2C. We have less time, we're busier. So we need click kind of oriented solutions as opposed to complex analysis platforms. So I think it's these two things happening together, which led us to say we can be the solution at the forefront of this change and also be a really simple tool which can be valuable to the busy executive or the student that is just trying to learn. So I think the Hotjar can bring value to both areas.
So two things that are really striking to me about the way you've built Hotjar and the decisions you've made around the price of it, which is relatively low compared to some of your competitors, and also the feature set. It's really an ambitious project. It does a whole lot of things that previous to Hotjar, you needed basically an individual piece of software for every single thing it does. So whether it's surveys or collecting feedback or the analytics and playing back user sessions, all of these kinds of things are now all rolled into this product. From the perspective of giving people what they want and developing a product for the market, why did you decide to undertake such an ambitious project with Hotjar?
That's a fantastic question. The easy, simple answer is I had no choice. I had been working as a consultant, saved up quite a lot of funds to kind of build up my own business. First two ideas failed. First one, because I took too long to go to market and only discovered then that my market was not very easily addressable. And what I had built maybe was not a solution this market was looking for. And the second one was a solution which was awesome and addressable, but it was too hard of a sale. And I'm not a sales team kind of business type. I'm not a sales business type of guy, kind of. That's not what I do. I'm much more a marketing person, and I embrace more the idea of building demand. So having learned from that, funds were running short. Time was running out. So out of kind of potentially thinking this is like all in, this is has to be it, we said, let's do what I call value innovation. So give more at a lower cost. So typically businesses give more at a higher cost or give less at a lower cost. Value innovation is where those two arrows go against each other and you get like hopefully like a home run. So that was our logic there.
And obviously it comes with more demands on support and more things, moving pieces that could go wrong, right? So
correct. It is ambitious.
Yeah.
So it does require us to work in the most clever way possible and evaluate every step we make really cleverly, because obviously when you're working in a scenario of low cost and very high data volumes, you need to make sure that the next step you're making is in the right direction. And that's where being lean and very iterative, so always shipping quickly the smallest unit of improvement, is key. We cannot afford to work on really large projects which fail, but in a way that makes it even better, because that makes us much more efficient at improving very quickly.
And since you have so many different tools together under one roof with Hotjar, I mean, that's one thing that we love about it, is we can install it on our site or on a client site with just a snippet of code and see all of these different things happening and different ways of observing user behavior. What are some of the interesting use cases you've seen with Hotjar and how it's able to inform people about how their clients are making decisions on their site?
There's quite a range of examples, to be honest. I'd say the most common one we get is they jump into Hotjar and they instantly start using what's called our recordings feature, which is basically we replay how HTML from your site was loaded by the user. So it's kind of like you're seeing a video of someone using your site, but it's not a video. It's just we're recompiling the HTML. And this can be very effective because you quickly empathize and see what your users are seeing. And that is very powerful, because we get a lot of cases of people saying, oh, I had no idea this was happening. We just uncovered like a bug or an issue, or just the experience made no sense and we just didn't realize. But just by seeing a dozen or two dozen people going through it, it was like so obvious. So that's typically what I call the quickest win. But then I'd say the deepest and biggest transforming wins come from our customers that then leverage the feedback part of things, the big picture thing I said. So using polls to ask questions and then being blown away by the answer. So not expecting the answer to be that. And then being able to piece that together with, for example, a heat map of how people are using a page. That can become very powerful.
Have you seen any types of businesses that would not benefit from collecting this type of feedback?
I don't think so. I think it's difficult to think of a case where it's not valuable to see how your site is being used, whether it matches your perception and assumptions of how it's going to be used and what your users have to say. I think it's pretty much always an eye opener.
I apologize. That question was intended to be a softball. So I'm sorry it wasn't more obvious, but yeah, we're big proponents of really understanding your clients as a business, right? Because without that research piece and just taking the time to ask even simple questions directly, whether even if someone doesn't use a tool like Hotjar, it's so critical just to understand what they're thinking, feeling, what objections they have. I just had Sean D'Souza on the podcast, and I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he really lays out a very clear process with which people make buying decisions. And I think it's critical to start to uncover what are those steps along the way, and having a tool like Hotjar really helps automate that process. So I'd like to take a step back and talk briefly about your consulting career. You did a lot of UX work, and you focused on this big question, is my design working? In other words, can I see an observable lift, a change in the way people behave in a positive direction for my company? What are some of the things that you learned along the way in your consulting career that have informed the way you build your product now and design your website, and the way you think about collecting feedback?
I'd say the biggest thing that comes to mind is experience. How deeply the experience impacts behavior. And the second one would be positioning. How clearly you lay out who you are, what your site is and who it is in the big picture of like the ecosystem, right? So how you position yourself against competitors or in the market, or why should I buy from you, and why do you exist? So I'd say those two things together, if I look at my career as an evolution, it started off at the beginning much more tactical with like designs and buttons and whatnot. Then I evolved to kind of understand better the role copy has to play, and then eventually psychology, and then eventually getting deeper into the whole experience and how you can build up commitment through an experience, but how important that interplays with the whole positioning piece. So an example would be a captivating experience on a site that makes the choice of what to buy a no-brainer, and by positioning yourself as an expert or a kind of more of a niche, specialized in a certain area, how big an impact those two things can have on conversion. That was kind of the biggest illumination to me over the years.
Yeah, I mean, we see that also as we, and some of this comes through trial and error, right? You don't just happen upon the right answer necessarily, but testing can be a big part of figuring out the combination of which pieces is going to be the most effective. One question, if you're willing to share, is what sorts of testing or feedback are you actively collecting on Hotjar in order to get closer to this combination of different niches and positioning the product properly so that you're getting the most impact?
Oh, that's a long list. So we always heat map our key pages, and then we run poll questions. We rotate through different questions. So we ask questions like, what's missing on this page? How can we improve this page? If you didn't act, what could we have done differently? So we find that that can be very powerful, especially, for example, on our pricing page. We've had big wins. And then, for example, we find it very effective on a page like a pricing page, where there is obviously a big buying decision happening there, to ask a question which is kind of the opposite, right? Asking them like, is there a question we did not answer here? And then literally analyze the questions and then build up the page according to that. But then equally, every time we deploy a new feature, we use a feature within Hotjar, which is the ability to trigger, the ability to tag recordings when a specific event happens. So for example, we just deployed today the ability to have a question bank in our polls feature. So you can just drag over from a list of questions that we've prepared. So we tag that in our recordings so that then we can go back and re-look at how people are behaving with that. And then again, trigger a poll when they've done that, like, how could we have improved this experience? So it's really, it's like, it's built into just the way we work, essentially. And this kind of builds back to what you were saying before, right? You use the phrase, which is interesting, which is a lot of it is trial and error. And while that is correct, I'd say a lot that I've learned is that the more sophisticated or the more you prioritize collecting qualitative feedback on top of the analytics layer, the less it becomes kind of hit and miss. And the more the test becomes just proving that the data you've collected and the hypothesis you have is correct and you're not going completely wrong. And I think that's where you can all of a sudden like fast track your growth, because you go from, so earlier in my evolution, I talked about the evolution, it was more about testing and seeing, will this win? Oh no, it didn't win. And if I look at the end of my career, now it's become more truly understanding what's going on. And then it's just, can we confirm this is true? Which is a very different approach. So probably you end up doing less tests, but your win rate like triples.
Right. Yeah. The goal of collecting the feedback in the first place is really to reduce the uncertainty around what the next iteration will be, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Fantastic. So one thing that some people may be thinking right now as they hear you talk is that's great for David and Hotjar because they have, you know, I don't know, tens, hundreds of thousands of visitors on their website, maybe even more. What about businesses that say are still multi-million dollar businesses, but are only getting 1,000 or a couple thousand visitors? What do you recommend that they do with a tool like Hotjar to collect feedback?
Yeah, I'd say the two most qualitative tools that work really well together at any traffic level are recordings and surveys. So essentially, you ask 3-4 key questions that we actually share. I've written an action plan for Hotjar, so anyone listening can Google Hotjar action plan and you can find all the steps that I suggest you go through. But essentially, a survey to existing customers, so surveying your past customer base, or even surveying people as they become customers, together with looking at recordings, is a really, really powerful way of understanding like where the big problems are. Let me give you an example. So at one point, I was helping and working with a gaming company. So they had a game. It was like you put in some money with the hope to win, right? Now, I had never worked in this area, so I was very new to this. And my assumption going into kind of assisting them was that most of their customers or users would be in it for the money. But even they were not aware of this, that as we digged into it with surveys, we found that the biggest reason why they were playing is actually fun and socializing, because they had this chat on the side and that's what they enjoyed the most. So it was more of a social thing to them. And we also discovered that the big reason, like the big hesitation they had in joining this in jumping into it was kind of, can I trust these guys? And at looking at those responses and then looking at recordings of people pausing and hesitating as they signed up and seeing how they perhaps got stuck in socializing and interacting, like putting all that information together and being able to go back and change the sign-up process to reflect more on this whole socializing and fun aspect and leveraging what we learned, it had such a huge impact. Another similar example is working with an e-commerce site. So it was quite interesting that they had very sophisticated analytics. And this was quite a big e-commerce client. But they were very detached from what their site, how their site can be improved from an experience point of view. So whereas they could dissect conversion rate like crazy across different segments, behaviors and flows and all this stuff, they didn't know what was their biggest opportunity, like in terms of experience. So we said, okay, let's heat map your key product pages and then also ask a question, which is, how can we improve this page? What's missing? And what's interesting was that they were selling bicycles. And what's interesting was that the main question that came up from that was, the weight of the bike is missing. And it was interesting, right, that they as a company, this huge company, did not realize, as in they knew that they were missing the weight, but they did not realize that this was one of the key buying decision points. And when you think about it, it's a no-brainer, right? But you might not realize that it has such a big impact. And we could track that back to the way the site was being used and the way they were clicking around, that they were actually looking for that. And based on that, we could then propose, first off, obviously, the client has to give a shit and go and find a way to quickly measure the bikes and give estimates or whatnot. And then where to put it on the page based on where they're looking for it. So as I said, like that puts you in a position to have that's clearly going to be like a winner, right? As in, you know that is missing and you know that is what you need to address. So my point being, no matter what your traffic size or actually even the lower traffic you have, these type of qualitative approaches to discovering opportunities is super, super effective, no matter what traffic you have. If anything, the only drawback is you might need to wait a little bit longer in terms of collecting more data, right? So in a way, as a person that truly believes in split testing and conversion rate optimization, growth hacking, whatever we call it, while testing is great, if you don't have traffic, probably you shouldn't even be focusing on testing. Just listen to your users, get out there, discover how your app, your site, your shop is being used. Find out the biggest pain points and solve for those. Execute against them as quickly as you can.
That's great advice. So with that, I'd like to go into the three questions I ask of every one of my smart guests like you. And the first is, what is the biggest mistake people make in learning about their clients?
I would say it's getting lazy. And I think I'm equally guilty of this. as in, you kind of assume you know what the problem is, but you don't really monitor it over time. You don't really dig deeper. You don't really kind of follow up and make sure you execute against it. So it becomes very easy to become lazy. And by lazy, I mean, you sit down, you look at Google Analytics, you look at your sales dashboard, and you think about, how am I going to get a win? How am I going to increase the bottom line? And it's so easy to forget there are human beings on the other end using the site and kind of trying to buy from you. and it's so easy to get into this lazy environment, especially the more digital we become. So the only problem is that our eyes, our ears, and our mouths, no one has managed, thank God, to do a SaaS product out of them. So I think the key is to be less lazy and to use these awesome free tools that we all have at our disposal.
Like Hotjar.com. what is the one thing everyone can do today to learn more about their clients?
Obviously, I'm going to have to mention Hotjar here, but obviously there are many tools you can do this with. Like, my favorite question I like to ask, I really hate these surveys which say, where are you from? What do you do? What's your job? What's your income? Like 10 questions to pretty much understand who that person is. A question I love to ask is, tell us a bit about yourself. And then I do an example in brackets. Example, I am a 29-year-old male who works as a designer and is really passionate about cars. And that type of responses you get is super, super powerful. It just being able to suddenly kind of identify more and empathize with kind of who you're selling to and who the audience is, and being able also to segment and bucket them a little bit. We tend to overcomplicate it, as I said, with surveys or calling them personas, or I just calling it get to know who the human being is, basically. I think just doing that can become already, is already a very, very powerful thing on a basic human level. On a more tactical level, I'd say asking a very simple question. So as you can tell, it's all about asking questions. Ask questions. That's the main thing. So the second question would be, asking your existing customers what nearly stopped you. What was your biggest concern? This is, I think, the biggest golden nugget of all. And most people are not aware of this kind of potential, like asking this question. And the reality is, if you ask people coming to the site who kind of are just visiting, a lot of them might be unqualified, right? So they might tell you, oh, the price needs to be cheaper, or this needs to be blah, blah, blah. They want everything to be perfect, cheap, free. So you're going to get a lot of unqualified feedback. So by asking that question to the ones that made it through, it's definitely within that group, you're going to have a lot of people who hesitated and stopped. Think about it yourself. The last time you bought something, there was a hesitation. There was something in your mind saying, should I not? Comparison, like looking at the site a couple of times. If you can dig into that and identify what that is and solve for that, that can have a huge impact on how many more people you can bring through.
Yeah, definitely. What is the one book, David, that you recommend people read? And you can recommend more than one if you feel the need to.
You knew that was coming. To my friends... to my friends and fans, I am like I'm a bookworm, and basically the quick side note there. This all comes from when I had failed with my two startups. I realized that I was being a little bit arrogant and thinking I could succeed without learning from other people's mistakes. So I asked around some of the cleverest people I knew and the people I admired what were the most influential books they read, because I already read a quote that said the most kind of smart people say they would prefer to read 10 books 100 times than read 1,000 books. So it was like, I just need to figure out what those 10 books are. So basically, I just read and read and read, and a lot of that helped me to build Hotjar. So I'd say two of my favorite books that dig into kind of understanding the psychology and kind of how people behave. One of them is definitely a big favorite of mine, which is Influence by Robert Cialdini. And the second one is Don't Make Me Think by Steve Krug.
Ah, yes, that's my favorite UX book, actually. Fantastic. Well, those are great recommendations. So thank you so much for being here, David. And for people who are listening, who would like to get to know more about you or your business, what's the best way that they can find you?
Sure, yeah. So as I said, I've written a Hotjar action plan, which I think is quite interesting, because we've kind of tried to leverage as much as we've learned over these years working together with clients and growing businesses, giving them wins to the tunes of hundreds of millions of dollars. So a lot of those tactics are included in there. So I think it's extremely valuable. In terms of contacting me, like they can find me on Twitter at David Darmanin, but we also pride ourselves as a company that we all kind of do speak to our users and do support. So anyone that does decide to sign up for an account on Hotjar, they can just say, I'd like to speak to David in our chat, and they'll find me there.
Great. Well, that's very generous of you. So thank you again, David, for being here and for sharing all of your expertise. I know that the listeners have gotten a lot out of it. So thank you a ton.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.